This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Connecticut Governor John Rawlins' status in a federal corruption probe has changed from witness to subject, sources with knowledge of the investigation told the Associated Press. A source who spoke on condition of anonymity said Thursday the change to a subject means a person's actions are within the scope of the federal investigation. A federal grand jury has been investigating alleged bribery and bid rigging within the Republican administration. The three-term Republican admitted last month that he lied when he initially denied that some of the work was paid for by politically appointed state employees, friends, and a state contractor. American employers hardly took on any new workers in December, a disappointing government report on Friday said, indicating the economic recovery has yet to translate into sustained jobs growth. The unemployment rate fell to 5.7%, the lowest in over a year, and down from 5.9% in November. But this was mainly because 309,000 people dropped out of the workforce. The poor report is a headache for George W. Bush as he seeks re-election in November, with the economy, specifically job creation, expected to be a key issue in the campaign. Since Bush took office, more than 2.3 million non-farm jobs have been lost. A bicycle bomb killed six people as they ended Friday prayers at a crowded Shiite mosque in central Iraq Friday, underscoring the threat of religious conflict in a country already racked by anti-American insurgency. A gas cylinder packed with explosives strapped to a bicycle went off close to people praying on the pavement due to lack of space inside the small Shiite mosque. Chanting anti-American slogans, angry Sunni Muslim worshippers on Friday protested a U.S. raid on their mosque last week, beating a news photographer, and accusing other journalists of being spies. The protest at the mosque underscored the depth of hostility among some Sunni Muslims towards the U.S.-led occupation. Many Sunnis feel alienated, believing the Americans favor their Shiite Muslim rivals. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A consumer electronics chain's idea of starting a sale at midnight went badly wrong in Poland after looters went on a rampage, police said. Several individuals were very violent and were probably under the influence of alcohol, police spokesman Mirosław Mikor said. About 150 police used their batons to restore order. Some 3,000 people piled into the Lodz branch of Media Market as it opened its doors on Friday. Some smashed windows, wrecked cash registers, and helped themselves to sale goods. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Here's an inspiring story of renewal and human gumption to cheer you. It comes from Detroit, the hard-hit, gritty city that has lost thousands of its jobs and suffered a massive outflow of population over the last few decades, leaving hundreds of abandoned buildings and vacant lots. Indeed, a third of the property within the city limits is nothing but boarded-up buildings and trash-littered lots. But today, something new is growing in Detroit, literally. Coming off of dozens of those vacant lots are tons of hay, honey, chickens, goat's milk, tomatoes, herbs, beans, and even beef. This urban agricultural abundance is being produced by a hardy group of Detroiters who are turning Motor City into Garden City. More than 40 community gardens and microfarms, working with churches, schools, food banks, homeless groups, community organizations, and activists, not only grow a cornucopia of food in this city, but also process it and distribute it, offering a terrific terrific example of truly grassroots economic development. One of these urban farmers is Paul Weirds, a science teacher who a decade ago wanted to connect his inner city students to nature and food. He and about 100 student volunteers have converted 7 abandoned lots into 10 acres of fertile farmland. Now there are even rabbits and pheasants that have been drawn to this revitalized acreage in one of America's biggest cities, a phenomena he calls a totally surreal experience. But it's real, beautiful, and both economically and spiritually uplifting. Detroit City farmers are also converting an old auto shop into a community center with a greenhouse, cannery, and cafe. This farm-based revival draws other small businesses to the neighborhood. Growing vegetables is just a vehicle for other kinds of change, says one farmer. This is Jim Hightower saying, these Detroiters are showing us that true grassroots growth comes not from corporate trickle-down, but from ourselves. To learn more, go to the Detroit Planning Group's website, adamha.org.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thanks for joining us this Friday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces, and the phone number here is 800-825-5937. 800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to call in. And you can email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. We are going to be joined second hour by my good friend Bart Kopp's... Is it Bart Kopp's personal astrologer, Kathy? His what? The website's astrologer. Okay. I wonder if Bart Kopp himself has an astrologer. Anyway, Geneva is her name. You've heard her before, and a couple of you emailed in after we had her on and said, well, you shouldn't do that. It's just a diversion, okay? If I do too much more bush stuff, I'm going to have to rip my eyes out of my sockets, and I think Geneva would be a nice break. So she's going to join us during the second hour for a 2004 political forecast. And what Geneva the astrologer has to say will be just as valid as what George Stephanopoulos or Tim Russert have to say, right? Sure. Also, a bit of confusing Bush speak on his so-called No Child Left Behind Act. Is that a joke or what? No particular reason. I just want to play a couple of sound bites for you coming up here in a few minutes, just for kicks. Just trying to figure out what he's saying. We don't have a prize to offer, but if you can figure out what he's saying, and either or both of the sound bites will play for you, we'd like to give you a free trip to Vegas, but we can't, so we'll just say, hey, good for you. All right. Now, I have a little update for you. Remember the other night we talked about the former tour guide or a river boat person on the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon? He and his wife had written a book that talked about how the Grand Canyon was really formed about, 5,000 years ago during the time of Noah and the Great Flood, and that all this claptrap ridiculousness that you have maybe heard about, like evolution, or the Earth being millions and billions of years old. It's just nonsense, you know, just nonsense. Well, the way we reported the story to you, the book was under review whether or not it could be sold at the National Park Service bookstore in Grand Canyon. Well, guess what? Yeah, you're way ahead of me. It says here, in a series of recent decisions, the National Park Service has approved the display of religious symbols and Bible verses, as well as the sale of creationist books, plural, about the origins of natural wonders in national parks, according to documents to be released today. This was on the 8th, by Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. That group is PEER, P-E-E-R. PEER Executive Director Jeff Roach said the Bush administration appears to be sponsoring a program of faith-based parks. Now, the way we reported the story the other night, in July, the National Park Service Deputy Director Donald Murphy ordered the Grand Canyon National Park to return three bronze plaques bearing biblical verses to public viewing areas on the canyon's south rim. Put them back, NPS Director Donald Murphy said. Put them back! Murphy had overruled the park superintendent. The park superintendent had authorized the removal of the plaques based on legal advice from the Interior Department that the religious displays violated the First Amendment. But the National Park Service Deputy Director, Donald Murphy, said, put them back! On its website, the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary, which put up the plaques, says the Bible verses were allowed in the national park after, quote, God touched the hearts of officials to give permission, close quote. No, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary, but that's not the case at all. The deputy director of the National Park Service touched the hearts of officials and probably threatened them with being fired. Now, in addition, this fall, the Park Service, we reported this the other night, approved a creationist text titled Grand Canyon, A Different View, for sale in park bookstores and museums. The book claims that the Grand Canyon is only a few thousand years old and developed on a biblical rather than an evolutionary time scale. And at the same time, Park Service leaders had blocked publication of guidance for park rangers and other interpretive staff that labeled creationism as lacking any scientific basis. So you see what's going on here. They can say, well, yes, the Grand Canyon was formed 5,823 years ago during the flood. Oh, and by the way, get that crap out of here about we don't have any scientific basis for creationism. Now, this would appear to be in conflict, would it not, with Bush's stated support for policies based on sound science? Oh, never mind. I just thought I'd throw that in. In addition, the Park Service announced it will alter an 8-minute video shown at the Lincoln Memorial Visitor Center. We're leaving the Grand Canyon now and going to Lincoln Memorial. The Park Service will alter an 8-minute video shown at the Lincoln Memorial Visitor Center. The video shows past demonstrations and events at the memorial. Republican, right-wing, conservative religious groups had asked for the removal of footage from the video of gay rights demonstrations, pro-choice demonstrations, and anti-Vietnam War demonstrations because, these conservative jackass morons said, it implies that, quote, Abraham Lincoln would have supported homosexual and abortion rights as well as feminism, end quote. The Park Service has promised to develop what it calls a more balanced version of this 8-minute video that includes rallies of Christian groups and pro-war demonstrations. Well, can any of you figure this out? I can't. This is insane. This is insane. I swear to God, and you wonder why I'm having an astrologer on tonight? Anything. We're thinking about maybe doing an on-air appendectomy in here this evening. Anything to dull the pain of what these right-wing freaks are doing in the country. Oh, one last thing. The Park Service is also engaged in a legal battle to continue, not remove, but to continue displaying an 8-foot-tall cross atop a 30-foot-high rock outcropping in the Mojave National Preserve in California That suit is pending before the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, you know, I've said it before in this program, and I don't want to bore you. My grandmother was a Baptist. And I guess she would be described as a fundamentalist Christian. I don't know that they had such a term like that 50 years ago, but that's what how I guess she would have been described. And she used to freak me out. I mean, I loved her to death. She used to freak me out, though, tell me, you know, I was going to burn in hell if I didn't accept Jesus as my own personal private little savior. But I kind of overlooked that because she was a nice woman. I really liked her, liked my grandma. So I'm really familiar with this stuff, and I've had these kind of freaks in my own family. I wouldn't call my grandma a freak, but I loved her to death. But separating my grandmother from her freaky religion is not hard to do now as an adult. When I was a kid, you know, grandma was grandma. I could look past. I would spend summers with her. We'd go to church on Sunday morning. My grandfather, my grandmother, my uncles go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and then Wednesday for prayer meeting. Oh, that was a lot of fun. And if my mother sent me to my grandmother's by the first week in June or second week in June, I'd go to vacation Bible school. That was a lot of fun, too. But that's why none of these right-wingers can out-Bible me. They can't do it. Okay? But anyway, so I'm familiar with these folks. I really am. What the fundamentalists have done, and I mentioned this the other night, they have turned me into a 5'10", 165 pounds of walking contempt and rage and disgust about the Christian religion as practiced by these evangelicals. I've become a foaming, frothing maelstrom of contempt and hatred and disgust for these evangelical Christians. What is with these people other than they doubt their own faith so much that they have to plaster it all over the countryside, right? Oh, God, have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? Guess what the Bush administration has on tap for Australians, Canadians, and citizens of the UK. Australians who are coming to this country will not be able to queue up around the toilet on the airplane. That's right. Qantas Airlines said a couple of days ago that it will comply with the demand issued by the U.S. Transport and Security Administration that passengers not congregate near the plane's toilets. So if you're on a Qantas jet and you're flying in the United States and somebody's standing there to get in the loo, and you need to get in there, stay in your seat, because if you get up and then have two people online, you are violating the law. Australia's Deputy Prime Minister and Transport Secretary, one John Anderson, said he was surprised by this directive, which he described as a little bit hard to handle. Darren Kayser, a spokesman for the TSA, part of our Department of Homeland Security, told BBC News Online that passengers could still queue for the toilet, but that congregating in groups would be discouraged, and it's up to flight crews to distinguish between politely waiting for the toilet and not politely waiting for the toilet on a Qantas jet. The chief executive of the Board of Airline Representatives in Australia, one Warren Bennett, said he thought the move gave the impression that, quote, paranoia is taking over. So if you plan on flying Qantas to or from Australia or United States and you have to pee, or number two, wait until nobody is standing outside the toilet door, because if you go stand there, one or two of you, you're in violation of directives from Tom Ridge's Transport Safety Administration.
It's real. Fatal attraction. It's home. I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Welcome back to the show that you have to listen to because there are no other shows on mainstream media channels. Although I do want to talk more about me and how Bush is the second coming of God, I'll take a call or two. Okay, Bill in Kansas City. Oh, you want to compliment me? Well, let's get you on the air.
I was just calling to let everybody know that on January 19th, Sirius Left Stream 145 is switching to 143. You suck, and so does your show.
I'm not sure how that call made it through our church-going call screeners, but it won't happen again. This show's about me, right, Kenneth in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Sirius Left Stream 145 changing to 143 on January 19th is very important news, because that's where you can hear good talk radio, not the crap you're putting out.
What?
Loser.
I'm the best thing to happen to radio, and you all know that. That's right. Don't you?
Sirius Left Stream 145 is changing to 143 on January 19th. Still the best political talk radio, but just on a different channel.
Cut to a commercial and play some patriotic music. They'll be back.
No, they won't.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Geneva will join us a little under an hour. Our Ontario, Canada bureau chief sent me an email. Guess what the Bush crime family has in mind for Canadians? Well, a couple of things. First of all, the United States is going to screen Canadians now. New security rules will affect tens of thousands who will be required to get visas. Also, fingerprinting and photos. It's being referred to as a massive invasion of privacy. This is for Canadians. This is for Canadians. In the Toronto Star, It says tens of thousands of Canadians living in the United States will be fingerprinted and photographed when they re-enter this country, Canada, after a sweeping new anti-terrorism program begun Monday by the Bush administration. Under the new rules, travelers press their index finger to an inkless scanner, then have their photographs taken. You've seen it on television. The category of Canadians to be so identified includes Canadian businessmen, entrepreneurs, high-tech workers, entertainers, journalists, their spouses, and dependents who have a U.S. residence visa but remain Canadian citizens. The information will be held by the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. State Department, U.S. Immigration, and, quote, appropriate federal, state, and local law enforcement personnel. How about that, huh? How about that? I'm so inclined to just start cursing, you know, just vile language. But it goes beyond that. The Canadian press is also reporting that U.S. border agents will soon have access to the tax records of Canadian residents for use in nabbing terrorists. U.S. officials said an impending merger of Canadian and U.S. Immigration and Customs databases will also help them intercept terrorists, criminals, fugitives. Officials said the measure will give U.S. frontline agents the power to check Canadian residents driving into the U.S. at land crossings. U.S. officers will have access to Revenue Canada files, which contain tax information on Canadians, including their work records, what property they own, and what investments, if any, that they have. So our Ontario Bureau Chief Frank emails me, how dare the Bush crime family target anyone's financial records for their phony war on terror? Now, the next time I visit the U.S., Tom Ridge and John Ashcroft can peruse my tax and property and financial records without a warrant or probable or reasonable cause. What? And then, yeah, Frank, we live in an insane time. George Bush is a madman. Everyone who works with him are clinically insane. And Frank says, by the way, Mike, you forgot to mention that eBay is also considered a financial institution whose records can be pulled by the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI. eBay is worldwide. This crime family that runs your country wants to become a worldwide governmental policeman, judge, and executioner. I don't have anything to say. None of this is the least bit surprising anymore. These are sick bastards that run this country now. Sick, sick, sick. People. Britons are going to need visas now. In 9 months, according to the Guardian of London, thousands of Britons traveling to the U.S. will have to buy a visa and be fingerprinted upon entering the country until the British government is able to issue high-tech biometric passports. Those passports are required and demanded in new security measures imposed by the United States. Britons carrying non-biometric passports. Jesus Christ. Will be allowed into the U.S. As long as their passport carries a barcode. Oh, it just goes on and on, on and on. This is going to affect millions of people coming to the United States. Canadians, Australians, Western Europeans, Britons, Brazilians, South Americans, Central Americans. You know what this country is becoming? You do, don't you? It's becoming a sewer.
Hey, Canada! Hey, Canada! It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along. Hey, Canada! Hey, Canada!
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches? Should we blame the fire? Or the doctors who allowed it?
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some chemicals widely used as flame retardants might be harming lives as much as saving them. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several kinds of chemicals known as PBDEs are used to keep a wide variety of consumer products from burning easily. The list includes furniture, textiles, and electronic equipment. Scientists believe that PBDEs slowly escape from those products and get into the environment. Evidence is mounting that exposure to these compounds might be particularly harmful to the fetuses of animals and people. Linda Birnbaum directs the Experimental Toxicology Division of the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Birnbaum says use of PBDEs in the United States has been increasing rapidly for more than a decade.
The PBDEs were really first introduced into commerce in the early 70s, but their use has increased dramatically over the past 10 to 15 years. And the concern with the PBDEs really started in the very late 1990s when they were first detected in not only wildlife, but in human blood and milk samples.
Birnbaum says evidence of the danger of PBDEs is preliminary, but it needs to be taken seriously.
These chemicals have such long lifetimes in the environment and in our bodies that the longer we continue to use them, the longer it'll take to get rid of them if we find out we have a problem.
Birnbaum says many European industries have voluntarily stopped using several forms of PBDEs. As a result, people in Europe have blood levels of the chemical that are just 1/10 to 1/20 of the levels in Americans. She says one U.S. company has voluntarily agreed to halt production by the end of 2004, and other companies are looking for safe alternatives. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what? Yeah,
listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay,
everyone.
27 before the hour. So if you're a Brit, if you're a British citizen, you're going to have to carry a biometric passport to get into this cesspool that has been developed in the United States. We used to be a really nice country. It still is a nice country, except for the fact that we have become a political cesspool, thanks to these monsters who have taken control of our government. New U.S. rules state that from October 26, people entering this country under the visa waiver program, you know, you don't need a visa. What you will need is a new high-security passport that contains digital information identifying the holder by unique biometric data, such as fingerprints or iris patterns from your eyeballs. The U.S., according to the Guardian of London, has acknowledged that most of the 27 visa waiver countries where you don't need to have a visa if you have a biometric passport, can't comply by this deadline, October 26, because most of these countries don't have the technology to produce the passports until the summer of 2006 at the earliest. What does that mean? That means that citizens issued with new non-biometric passports will have to apply for a visa. The director of the U.S. Visitor Registration Program in Britain said Britain had already informed the United States that it will not be ready to issue the new passports by October. Among the Britons likely to be caught up in the new requirements are those heading for winter sunshine breaks in Florida, those heading to ski resorts for the early season. About 450,000 new British passports are issued every month, meaning that it will not be long before millions of British travelers require visas to enter the United States. I don't know. Something must have happened. I think I know what happened. There was a huge nuclear event in some country in the United States or on the planet, which triggered an exchange of nuclear weapons, which resulted in global thermonuclear war, which resulted in the death, the extinction of all human life on Earth, and we are all now in hell. That's what happened. Has to be that. Because a rational planet, a rational country like the United States. And we used to be rational. Would not be doing this. We have our military in 126 countries, or 146, Kathy, on the planet. We are killing. We are detaining. We are blowing up at will, wherever we please. And people who want to come to this country, white people. For God's sake, white people who speak English. Now, if they were brown people, oh, okay. If they spoke a language other than English, well, okay. You know, nationalism and racism, jingoism, you know, we are known for that in this country. So brown people, different shades of people who speak languages other than English, okay. But we're talking about white people who speak English. God, how much longer? Oh, let's do these. Let's do these real quick. Okay, here's Too Stupid to Be President speaking about his No Child Left Behind Act to the National Catholic Education Association. Now, remember, these are people who, for the most part, send their children to private or parochial schools. There's nothing real important in this clip. It's just that I can't figure out what he's trying to say. And listening to these two sound bites I've got for, I can't wait for his NASA speech next week, right, where he's going to be talking about Mars and the moon, which will never happen. It's more Bush crap. But listen to this. Tell me, what's he talking about?
I signed what's called the No Child Left Behind Act. The law assumes that every child can learn. And therefore expects every child to learn. Uh-huh. We've increased federal spending, and now for the first, at the federal level, primarily for Title I students, many of whom would go to your schools if they went to the public, would be eligible for this program if they went to public schools. Many of your students would be eligible for this program.
What is he saying? In the first place, he's a lying bastard. He didn't increase federal spending. Federal spending has been cut. He's a lying bastard. Capital B-A-S-T-A-R-D. Bastard. Here's the other one. Because one good Bushism deserves another. See, can anyone tell me what he's trying to say? Same place, same little speech. What's he trying to say in this comment?
The No Child Left Behind Act not only demands accountability, but we've all started to empower parents to make additional choices for their child when the child is trapped into a school that won't change. And that includes, by the way, not only private tutoring, but also additional additional public school, a different change. In other words, what we're trying to do is introduce parental involvement through accountability standards.
Yeah, you little rat bastard. Oh, you rat bastard. R-A-T-B-A-S-T-A-R-D. Rat bastard. I can't believe this. I just can't. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We'll play those again in the third hour. From Robert. Mike, there's a large, very large percentage, about 80% of the electorate in Connecticut wanting the Republican governor there to resign. And about 40% are demanding impeachment. Why? Because he got some misappropriated work done on his lake cottage. I and some other outraged citizens have written to Dennis Kucinich insisting he should be the one to institute impeachment of Bush to the House of Representatives. Not a peep. Ramsey Clark has a petition for Bush impeachment with over a quarter million American signatures that was presented to several legislators in the U.S. House a while back. Not a peep. And then Bob has a series of question marks. Bob in Amherst, Massachusetts. Well, I get your point, Bob. I get your point. Republican Governor Rowland is just doing what Republicans do. He's a cheesy bastard, another rat bastard, who, Republicans doing, cutting deals for their friends and having this done and having that done. That's like a yawner. I mean, who cares, right? That's what Republicans do. But the citizens of Connecticut are just outraged. Just outraged. They, like Robert says here, they went 80% want him to resign, 40% want him impeached. What about George W. Bush? How many citizens of Connecticut would like to see George W. Bush, who is a lying rat bastard who sent thousands of people to death, to graves, some of them in mass graves, thousands of people have been butchered because of George W. Bush's policies, including, are we at 500 yet Americans in Iraq? How many in Afghanistan? Huh? So that Bush can have his pipeline and his oil wells. So that Dick Cheney can have his various companies making money. How many Americans have died? How many Iraqis have died? How many Afghans have died? Right? And the bandidos who came to this country and wreaked hell on September 11th are still floating around the planet someplace. But we don't impeach George Bush. But this poor, miserable, rat-bastard governor, Republican of Connecticut named Governor Rowland, he can misappropriate some money and get some work done and yada, yada, yada. And they're hollering for his head, his neck, his scrotum, his body fluids, everything. Kill him. Lynch him. Get him out of office. I wonder if 80% of the electorate in Connecticut would like George Bush to resign. I wonder if 40% of the electorate in Connecticut are demanding Bush be impeached. You know what? I don't think so. Oh, God. Oh, thank God it's Friday. What? Oh, is Brother Sky here? Oh, my God. Brother Sky Blue is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. It is Friday. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. Well, they're trying to resurrect Elvis again this week. This is his birthday.
Yeah, it is.
We got all the fanatics in town.
Yeah, you do.
You know, Elvis stole my girlfriend from me. I don't know if I ever told you about
that. No, no, I haven't heard that story. Stole your girlfriend?
Yeah, I went to high school here in East Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up there and went to the same school for 12 years or so with a girl named Linda Thompson.
Linda Thompson.
And she was in my speech and drama class. She used to have me announce the cheers for her cheerleaders at the pep rallies.
Uh-huh.
I was in the school senior play with her.
Yeah.
I left Memphis after I graduated, went out to California. I was working with a hotel chain.
Uh-huh.
I got homesick, was coming back on the bus. Picked up a movie magazine, some teeny bopper left, and opened it up, and there was my girlfriend, Linda Thompson, said, Elvis buys girlfriend $500 pair of silver-studded Levi's.
Oh, my God. What did you do?
Oh, well, I about dropped. And, of course, I come back to Memphis, and
yeah.
I was going through some changes that time. But, you know, she went on to, she left Elvis, as a matter of fact, when he was in hard times, and that's probably what killed him, from what I understand. He died of a broken heart.
Well,
I don't.
Well, I heard it was a different part of his anatomy that broke.
Well, I don't hold any hard feelings against him. Besides, she went on to marry a triathlon, Bruce Jenner, I believe, too.
Did she?
Yeah.
And this, and now this was your former girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Linda Thompson. Yes, she was a runner up in the Miss Tennessee contest.
Yeah.
She's living out in out there in Malibu now, I think, with a musician writer.
Yeah.
Now he was talking about America being a cesspool. They talk about the junk food we're eating, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
But I think that's just corresponds to the junk that we put in our brain, you know, these junk movies, Legally Blonde 2.
Yeah, that's awful, yeah.
And junk music, Britney Spears.
Did you ever see Blue Hawaii?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they're running his movies all week here, 24 hours. I heard a man, an author on the C-SPAN the other day, Mike, that was really hit. His name's Stanley Greenberg.
Stanley Greenberg.
He's a pollster for NPR,
and
he was an advisor to Clinton and Gore.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a book out. It's called The Two Americas.
The Two Americas.
Yeah, and he talks about the things that get left out of public debate because we've only got two political parties.
Uh-huh.
And he's got some answers, too. I'm planning on getting this book and reading it. I thought you might want to check it out, too.
Absolutely.
He talks about religious right. He talks about secularist Democrats. Well, they call them secularists or atheists. That's a good name. And they were questioning on one show I saw on the news, talk news, about Dean's religious affiliation.
Uh-huh.
They said that he was, they classified him as a Northeastern Congregationalist. What that means, I don't understand.
I don't either.
Well, you know, we don't live by bread alone. Back to this junk food in, junk food out.
Amen.
Stuff that these religious, we've got two camps of religious people in America, too. We've got these big mega churches out in the suburbs.
Hallelujah.
And white suburbs. And then we've got these big churches in the inner cities for the blacks.
Right.
And then, of course, we have these TV shysters. And that's what people judge religion by, is what they see on the TV.
Amen.
And they keep these thoughts, religious thoughts, with the way they present Christianity. They keep it intellectually about on the level of a 9-year-old child. You know, I struggle with growing up. When I was in my 20s, like I said, I was very immature. As a matter of fact, I was the low-life little degenerated punk.
Uh-huh.
And I decided I would find out the root and the cause of my problem, and I got a Bible, and it says, in the beginning was darkness and void, and it seemed like that's where my life was at.
Uh-huh.
But then it said, God said, let there be light.
Yeah.
And he divided the light from the darkness, and I started to see that some of my actions and thoughts were basically evil from darkness, and since some of my thoughts were inherently good.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, when I found the theological writings of Emanuel Swedenborg, he explains about these 6 days of creation in the first chapter of Genesis. Anybody with a minimum intelligence can see that it's not actually talking about literally creating the heaven and the earth in 6 days, but it's actually talking about a spiritual regeneration process a young man or woman would go through to get to that state of spiritual rest and understanding.
Hallelujah.
Where they can be a productive member of society. You know, 30,000 years before Sigmund Freud, there was the Adamic Church.
That was
the first church.
Hallelujah.
And then they couldn't adapt, so this church called Noah came along.
Amen.
And Noah, God told Noah to build that ark at three levels. The lowest level, that represents our lowest nature.
We have it in common
with the animals, you know.
Amen.
And he said on the second level, build a door in the side. That represents a human hearing.
Hallelujah.
We hear, and by instruction, different than any of the other animals, we have to be taught. And then the window.
Put your hand on the radio, folks.
On the third level, that represents how God can shine in and enlighten all of our truth. Jesus, yes.
Jesus, hallelujah.
And so, anyway.
Amen.
Well, Mike, I think that these shysters and these fundamentalists can be exposed.
Hallelujah.
You know, you shine a little bitty light into a dark room.
Amen.
And the whole room is lit up.
Amen.
And you can see, and that's why they won't let me on the radio here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because we got these big mecca.
Amen, Brother Scott.
Baptist churches.
Hallelujah.
And they can't stand criticism.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
Questioning of
hallelujah.
Their
hallelujah.
Their
yes. Love is tender.
They're using
hallelujah.
They use the Bible as
amen.
A for their...
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
I always love it when Brother Sky Blue calls in from Memphis, Tennessee. I swear I do. Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer is going to join us right after the break. She'll stick around for a while and do some prognosticating where it concerns the election coming up this year. And I can tell you right now that Geneva will be probably as accurate or as inaccurate in her predictions as any pundit in the in media, and much more entertaining. What happened to Matt? Oh, by the way, a couple of people sent this to me during the week, and I don't know why I didn't mention it. Last Friday, Philip Berg, the attorney for the 911 widow Ellen Mariani, in her RICO suit that's trying to hold Bush and various government officials accountable for the September 11th attacks, the attorney served Bush and top officials in this corrupt administration with a personal summons, the original complaint, and the First Amendment amended complaint via a federal process server as required by the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. Among those served, besides Bush, were the punk Dick Cheney, the crazy man Donald Rumsfeld, the psychopath John Ashcroft, the CIA director George Tenet, who never met a butt he wasn't willing to kiss, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of Transportation, Norman Mineta. No, I won't say anything. The 911 Congressional Victim Compensation Fund Special Master, Kenneth Feinberg. And former President George Herbert Walker Bush. They are required to answer the complaint within 60 days. Attorney Berg said, we're currently preparing written interrogatories and subpoenas so that we'll be able to keep the discovery of evidence in multiple investigations moving forward at a reasonable pace. Now, as you remember, we had Philip Berg and Ellen Mariani on this program a couple of weeks ago. Mariani said again the other night there was ample warning of these attacks on 911, and now I hear from news reports that Condoleezza Rice doesn't want to testify publicly under oath about all the intelligence briefings which warned about planes flying into buildings. What does she have to hide, Ms. Mariani asks, rhetorically on the one hand and specifically and deliberately on the other. We'll keep you posted on this. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin endorsed Howard Dean for president on Friday, calling him the kind of plain-spoken Democrat we need and giving a key boost to the frontrunner 10 days before the state's kickoff caucuses. Harkin disclosed his decision in an interview with the Associated Press. A formal afternoon announcement was scheduled at Dean's Iowa headquarters. Harkin's support will give Dean the backing of the state's most durable Democratic politician, a four-term senator whose organization can prove a vital asset on caucus night, January 19th. American employers hardly took on any new workers in December, a disappointing government report on Friday said, indicating the economic recovery has yet to translate into sustained jobs growth. The unemployment rate fell to 5.7%, the lowest in over a year, and down from 5.9% in November. But this was mainly because 309,000 people dropped out of the workforce. The poor report is a headache for George W. Bush as he seeks re-election in November, with the economy, specifically job creation, expected to be a key issue in the campaign. Since Bush took office, more than 2.3 million non-farm jobs have been lost. Connecticut Governor John Rawlins' status in a federal corruption probe has changed from witness to subject, sources with knowledge of the investigation told the Associated Press. A source who spoke on condition of anonymity said Thursday the change to a subject means a person's actions are within the scope of the federal investigation. A federal grand jury has been investigating alleged bribery and bid rigging within the Republican administration. The three-term Republican admitted last month that he lied when he initially denied that some of the work was paid for by politically appointed state employees, friends, and a state contractor. Chanting anti-American slogans, angry Sunni Muslim worshippers on Friday protested a U.S. raid on their mosque last week, beating a news photographer and accusing other journalists of being spies. Many Sunnis feel alienated, believing the Americans favor their Shiite Muslim rivals. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
It's true, Goofy is suing Disney. Eric Ford says he took a curtain to the head while he was performing as Goofy on the company's cruise ship. According to the lawsuit filed in federal court, the costume was defective. Ford claims he couldn't see a thing out of the suit while on stage, and because of that, a curtain came down on his head at the end of a performance. He claims he's experiencing disabling injuries to his back and neck, mental anguish, and loss of enjoyment of life. He's seeking $300,000. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved.
I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Here's an inspiring story of renewal and human gumption to cheer you. It comes from Detroit, the hard-hit, gritty city that has lost thousands of its jobs and suffered a massive outflow of population over the last few decades, leaving hundreds of abandoned buildings and vacant lots. Indeed, a third of the property within the city limits is nothing but boarded-up buildings and trash-littered lots. But today, something new is growing in Detroit, literally. Coming off of dozens of those vacant lots are tons of hay, honey, chickens, goat's milk, tomatoes, herbs, beans, and even beef. This urban agricultural abundance is being produced by a hardy group of Detroiters who are turning Motor City into Garden City. More than 40 community gardens and microfarms, working with churches, schools, food banks, homeless groups, community organizations, and activists, not only grow a cornucopia of food in this city, but also process it and distribute it, offering a terrific example of truly grassroots economic development. One of these urban farmers is Paul Wiertz, a science teacher who a decade ago wanted to connect his inner-city students to nature and food. He and about 100 student volunteers have converted 7 abandoned lots into 10 acres of fertile farmland. Now there are even rabbits and pheasants that have been drawn to this revitalized acreage in one of America's biggest cities, a phenomena he calls a totally surreal experience. But it's real, beautiful, and both economically and spiritually uplifting. Detroit City farmers are also converting an old auto shop into a community center with a greenhouse, cannery, and cafe. This farm-based revival draws other small businesses to the neighborhood. Growing vegetables is just a vehicle for other kinds of change, says one farmer. This is Jim Hightower saying, these Detroiters are showing us that true grassroots growth comes not from corporate trickle-down, but from ourselves. To learn more, go to the Detroit Planning Group's website, adamha.org.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God, help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach it.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. All right, we are going to take a little break. God knows we deserve one, right? From our usual hysterical rantings and ravings, and join Barkop.com's resident astrologer, and certainly she does other things than do astrological forecasts for Barkop.com. It's Geneva. She joins us from Landers, California. Hi, Geneva.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's been a while since we have chatted.
Yeah, a few months.
Yes, it has. How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Anything great or wonderful happen in the since we last talked? For you?
For me?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Not really. Same old, same old.
Same old. Well, that's usually good.
Yeah.
By the way, Geneva's website is higherlevelastrology.com. Higherlevelastrology.com. So while we chat here for a few minutes, check it out if you like to. I tell you what, Geneva, what I like to do is talk about, Bush's popularity, the economy and jobs, Cheney's status, any wars you see on the horizon, Reagan's health, Democrats in 2004, Enron, yada, yada, yada. So let's start, I guess, with Bush's popularity. That seems to be something that just can't be shaken.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I have a couple of charts here that I usually look at in regards to a president, and the first one is his inaugural chart, and this was set for January 20th when Rat Bastard was sworn in.
Where did you pick up that term?
I don't know. My mother would be so ashamed.
Oh, she would.
Yes. Oh, well. No, actually, she'd be pretty happy. She couldn't stand Reagan. She's since passed on, so
oh
I know she'd feel the same about Bush.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So anyway, in an inaugural chart, a well-placed moon with good aspects is essential because that represents the public and their sentiment and the emotional barometer and how the president's image plays out among the masses. And so an afflicted moon, conversely, would spell trouble with the people.
Right.
And in the inaugural chart for January 20th, 2001, the moon is fallen, and that means that it's operating at the place where it's weakest and least effective.
Yeah.
And Saturn is the planet representing the president, and that's considered a malefic planet. It usually causes loss, trouble, harm, damage. So we have an opposition, which is a negative aspect between Moon and Saturn, which indicates a decline in Bush's public image, mostly because people are afraid of their jobs and anxious over the economy, and that's made worse by his inability to deal effectively with the issues that bother people on a grassroots level.
Or put together a coherent sentence.
Yeah.
but I haven't seen that come to fruition yet, a declining popularity. It started for a while, but he's back up around 60%.
Well, the planet representing him is also in a conjunction, which means it's within 5-10 degrees in the same sign, with a benefic good luck charm Jupiter, and Jupiter represents big money. So no surprise, it would be close to him.
So even though Saturn, Bush's planet, represents all these weird, nasty aspects, it's overshadowed, is that what you're saying, by Jupiter, which represents not that, something else?
Well, yeah. The thing is that looking in his own chart, we see that shortly after the 2000 election, now the planets are divided. There's various ways of doing this, but essentially through the kind of astrology that I use, the planets are divided up into periods and sub-periods, and the periods are governed by particular planets, and those follow for a certain period of time, and within that period there will be sub-periods that are governed by other planets.
Okay,
so
I got
you. Got a period within a sub-period, right. Within a period.
Right.
And shortly after the 2000 election, he entered a north node period, and the nodes are the points where the moon's orbit intersects the ecliptic, which is the sun's path around the Earth. And the north and south node they're referred to are a point of fate and destiny in the chart.
Well, no, wait, you said sun's path around the Earth.
Right. Well, along the ecliptic, the sun's apparent path around the
apparent
path.
Okay.
Right.
I thought, ding dong. Okay.
In addition to moving the planet out in for nuclear, as we established, we have also now put Earth at the center. Yes.
There you go. I got
gotcha. We are still geocentric.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Bush was, and both of the nodes are considered like Saturn. They're both considered, although there's some controversy with this, generally speaking, they're considered malefic influence. So Bush had entered a north node sub-period. And even though this is a malefic planet in his, not exactly a planet, but a malefic point, this particular configuration is actually very well placed in his chart. And it's getting a lot of good benefit from Jupiter, which is the good luck planet.
Okay, when does this run out? When does the hammer come down on this guy?
Well, as a matter of fact, he has now entered a bad period.
Oh, good.
Goody, yes. So he's now in a Jupiter sub-period. Even though Jupiter is generally considered a fortunate planet, the thing is that if Jupiter, as a good planet, gives good aspects to other planets, but it doesn't receive good aspects,
Mm-hmm. Well, so, how long will he be in this bad period?
Long enough to have an effect, at least through this year.
Do you see anything there where he might develop a severe case of hemorrhoids or something that would just, you know, make sitting down or standing up or...
Mike, he's one big hemorrhoid.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about, you know, you know what they say, cancer will kill you, but the crabs will drive you crazy. I'm looking for something. Is there anything in his chart that might indicate something nasty, just very irritating?
I mean, like the little devils with the pitchforks, pokey, pokey.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Actually, no, not really, not in that sense.
Darn.
Hang on to the bitter end.
All right, let me.
And it will be a bitter end.
Oh, that sounds encouraging.
Yes.
Let me ask you about anything that you might be able to predict about Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich.
You want to jump right into the race right away, huh?
Yeah, why not? If you have something. Or anyone getting impeached, if you want to take this baby a little bit more baby steps, sticking with Bush and Cheney and this corrupt administration, do you see impeachment? Please God, please God.
If only. No.
No impeachment.
I wish I could, but I'm not really. I wasn't really looking for anything like that because I sort of gave up on that idea, considering nobody's.
That's true. Nobody. It has to come from not the stars, but from the House of Representatives. I understand.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's talk about.
But as far as Kucinich goes, I think his problem has been. I don't think you have to be an astrologer to determine this. And money has always been the mother's milk of politics. And Dennis isn't getting breastfed.
Yeah.
So.
No, not at all. And what about Howard Dean?
But I, for one, would really like to see Dennis in office because I think we need a Keebler elf baking cookies. I think that would be very good. Wouldn't there be peace all over the world?
There would be. Can you imagine, instead of sending missiles to another country, if we sent cookies,
yeah, exactly.
it would be a good thing. Howard Dean.
Howard Dean. Well, Howard Dean, right now, we can see the outcome, the way it's going to end up. It's going to be a dogfight between Dr. Dean and General Clark.
Uh-huh.
And the race for the Democratic nomination will be a close call, but Dean is likely to get the nomination. But here's the sticky wicket. If General Clark gets the nomination, he'll start off like gangbusters until about mid-September, and then he'll lose a lot of his forcefulness.
Hmm.
At that time, he'll enter a, here we go again with the planetary periods and subperiods, he'll enter into a more oppressive Saturn period and leave behind the fortunate conditions and the benefits he had under the Jupiter subperiod he was previously in.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, then Mars will enter into his 12th house, and this brings misfortune and frustration.
Well, this doesn't sound good. Who do you see that can defeat Bush?
Dean has some excellent aspects for Election Day.
Right.
And it includes one that shows him taking new responsibility and duties, and that one's known as the Kingmaker. And it looks like Dean has more of an edge, and the planets favor him.
Mm-hmm.
But if Clark gets the election, if General Clark gets the election, then...
you mean the nomination?
Yeah, the nomination, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets the nomination, he'll start out going strong, but then he'll lose his momentum, and he'll likely lose the election because his aspects are strong for the convention but weak for the election.
So according to what you can determine then, Clark, even though he might appeal to a lot of so-called conservative Democrats, he has less of a chance of defeating this gang than Howard Dean.
Right.
Depending on which one gets the nomination. But
right.
Clark would have less of a chance than a nominated Howard Dean.
Right. If the race is between General Clark and Bush, then we're looking at another 4 years of Bush.
Oh, Donald, please.
Yeah,
I just got stomach pains.
No.
Oh, my God.
There isn't enough Tums in the world, is there?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What about global problems right now, wars and rumors of wars, as it says in the Bible. What about the situation we have in Iraq, the situation in Afghanistan, or any place else? There's talk now, I understand, of some sort of preemptive strikes against Lebanon or Syria that are boiling around inside the psychopathic brain of Donald Rumsfeld. What do you see about wars other than what we have just experienced?
Well, you know, in the same inaugural chart, bringing that up to date and taking a look at how that plays out as far as war, we see the planets representing the cough leader of the country, mm-hmm. Bush, in this case, is in square to Mars, which is the well known as the god of war, and this accounts for his belligerent and defiant, cocky, mm-hmm. Bellicose stance. And from the beginning of his administration, he fully intended to get the country embroiled in a war. It's all there in his inauguration mm-hmm. chart.
Does this mean more war?
Yeah, I'm afraid
so. Jeez. Hey, hold on a second, Geneva. We got to take a break here. All right, let me put Geneva. We're talking with Geneva, the astrologer from higherlevelastrology.com and also bartkop.com's favorite astrologer. We'll take some calls when we come back. 800-TALK-YES. Come on, jump in and play.
And good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all 4 burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Wow.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Our guest, all the way from California, is Geneva, who has the higherlevelastrology.com website, and also practices her craft or her art with at bardcop.com. And Geneva, I'll tell you what. Let's get some callers in here before we run out of time, because this always happens. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Marge, say hi to Geneva.
Hi, Geneva.
Hi, Marge. How you doing?
You're very interesting.
Thank you.
One quick comment before I ask my question. I'm all for the manned space flight to Mars, provided the first flight takes off before November and Bush and Cheney are both on.
I figured you were going to say that. All right.
Anyhow, my question. In this Enron trial, is there actually going to be a trial, or are they going to plea bargain their cause into oblivion and nobody's going to know the facts?
Well, actually, I had on my website, I have an opinion page, and I had written about the comparisons between Watergate and Enron, and that was, I think, on the January 29th, 2002 issue. And I pretty much said then that justice is going to be... There's never going to be a point where all of these people are going to get their money back that they lost. And for a lot of people, that was the main thing, the loss of money, because they lost their retirement, they lost their savings, they lost so many things, and that's not likely to happen. So yeah. I think, they'll probably plea bargain down, because that's the way they do things with this administration.
My point is that, we're not going to know the facts behind it, because it's not going to be any kind of an open trial where evidence is actually presented on either side.
Right. And, of course, this administration is lousy with scandals anyway.
Oh, and secrecy.
Right. Definitely. And the inaugural chart, it shows strong scandals and secrecy.
Well, let me jump in here. Leah Fastow, both of you probably know this, Leah Fastow, the wife of the former one of the Enron vice presidents, who was scheduled to accept a plea bargain, 6 months or 8 months in jail, did not show up in court today, nor did her attorney. So the judge who is to hear this case of Leah Fastow says, okay, that's it. You had your chance for a plea bargain. You blew it. So this looks like a case that will go to trial.
Yeah, it probably could.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers. Of course, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I'm still hearing Ambassador Wilson's wish about having them all frog marched out of the...
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be great?
If only.
Yeah.
What is this secret case that amicus brief that the Bushes are filing in the Supreme Court, and they don't want it to be known what their filing is? It's something to do with Masaruf or something, whatever is in front of the...
I'm not sure what that is, but
I'm not familiar with that.
We'll figure that one out. Marge, is that it?
All right, I guess.
All right, let me
take
put
care.
You... All right, thanks for checking in, Marge. Appreciate it. Let me see here. Brian, wait a minute, what did I do? Okay, here we go. There's Geneva. And Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the program. Say hi to Geneva.
Hi, Geneva.
Hi, Brian.
How are you? Yeah, I want to know if do you see in the in your astrology charts and findings that is there any Democratic presidential candidate or any independent candidate like say John McCain who might decide to run as an independent that you see could keep up the momentum going through November's alleged election of 2004. And because I know John McCain, in late November, he was talking about the administration spending money worse than any drunken sailor in history, and that this latest stuff with Project Moonbase and the Mars Man mission, he's not going to feel any more kindly towards his administration. I'm hoping for anybody but this candidate.
You mean on the Republican side?
Even independent, John McCain, I would say, would have to run as an independent then.
Yeah. I think he's been pretty well cowed as far as that goes. He's actually more effective where he is. he can have a better voice and speak out and still
staying
maintain
in the Senate.
The security of the party.
Yeah.
Well, do you see anybody from the even from the so-called 911 commission, independent commission, do you see it taking down anybody like Condi Rice or...
Okay, I'll tell you what. Hold on, hold on. Everybody, hold on just a second. We got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and get the answer to that, Geneva. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Would you bring our voices in the sky?
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some chemicals widely used as flame retardants might be harming lives as much as saving them. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several kinds of chemicals known as PBDEs are used to keep a wide variety of consumer products from burning easily. The list includes furniture, textiles, and electronic equipment. Scientists believe that PBDEs slowly escape from those products and get into the environment. Evidence is mounting that exposure to these compounds might be particularly harmful to the fetuses of animals and people. Linda Birnbaum directs the Experimental Toxicology Division of the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Birnbaum says use of PBDEs in the United States has been increasing rapidly for more than a decade.
The PBDEs were really first introduced into commerce in the early 70s, but their use has increased dramatically over the past 10 to 15 years. And the concern with the PBDEs really started in the very late 1990s when they were first detected in not only wildlife, but in human blood and milk samples.
Birnbaum says evidence of the danger of PBDEs is preliminary, but it needs to be taken seriously.
These chemicals have such long lifetimes in the environment and in our bodies that the longer we continue to use them, the longer it'll take to get rid of them if we find out we have a problem.
Birnbaum says many European industries have voluntarily stopped using several forms of PBDEs. As a result, people in Europe have blood levels of the chemical that are just 1/10 to 1/20 of the levels in Americans. She says one U.S. company has voluntarily agreed to halt production by the end of 2004, and other companies are looking for safe alternatives. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
Yeah, you're encapsulated in a bubble, all right, dude. All right, our guest is Geneva, higherlevelastrology.com. She has joined us again for the second time, I believe, on this program. Hasn't been here for a while. She's also bartcop.com's resident astrologer. Higherlevelastrology.com. Check out the website and Get in touch with Geneva that way if you like. Now, we were talking with Brian from New Hampshire. All right, Brian, go ahead and put a cap on it for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just to let other people get to their questions, too. Just, Geneva, do you see anybody, the so-called independent commission regarding, I'd say September 11th was the worst day in U.S. history, but anyways, this commission, is it going to result in the throwing out of office or out of their position anybody like Condi Rice or Vice President Cheney? The president and the vice president had the power they were the only ones that had the power to give the shoot down orders to our fighter pilots, but they waited till at least after 10:30 a.m. to do it.
Let's see what the answer is, or what do you think, Geneva? Thanks for checking in, Brian.
Actually, I'm not really seeing anything that points to a mass exodus of all the ones you mentioned leaving office. There is some damage to Cheney's reputation, and which might occur in middle of the year, so that might be something. But on the good news, I had it on my website on the current opinion page article that I have posted there, and we see some sort of backing away for retribution in these instances. But in regards to the CIA investigation, we might see something popping for the principals involved in that around between April and July. We might have some good news there.
Well, one can hope.
Yeah.
Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings Bureau Chief. Joe, welcome to the program. Say hi to Geneva.
Hi there. First of all, do you see any possibility of a straw getting stuck up President Bush's nose?
You mean it would do the same damage as the pretzels did?
Yeah, more or less. Semi-seriously. Your crystal ball would have anything to say about the possibility of a deadlocked convention for the Democrats and would the nomination in that case wind up going to Hillary Rodham? I can't help it. I said that. I'm a smartass.
Nah, she said she's out of it, and I take her at her word. And she doesn't really have any aspects showing change in status for her. And it might end up in a deadlock, but I think Dean will pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think Hillary would. I think the Democratic Party understands right now, at least. Well, maybe not. I was going to say the Democratic Party leadership, and had to stop myself and realize those are all DLC people, as is Hillary. But I would think they would realize that Hillary is such a polarizing figure that the last thing they would want to do now is to nominate her. Oh, well, what am I talking about? Phil is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Lawrence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Phil. This is Lawrence. Are you calling from Arlington, Virginia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Question. Given the wide polarization that is in this country and the incredible demographics of the younger members of society, like 20 and under, 25 and under, does the astrologer see a third party being a viable option in the not-too-distant future? Everybody is just so disgusted with, you know, both. You know, the dinos running the alleged Democratic Party and the, you know, rhinos running the alleged Republican Party, that a lot of people that are, like, going with Dean and his new organization would be so flexible they could form a third party. Do you see something like that as being possible or viable?
Well, specifically, I don't see that Ralph Nader specifically.
No, not Nader.
Not Nader. But what I'm saying is that if he decides to run, he's pretty much become a joke, and any of his ability to galvanize third-party voters has pretty much been lost.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as someone else, I think we're getting more and more ripe for a two-party or rather a third party, because in a true democracy, we have to have more than just the two choices we have. So on down the road, I see it as being very important. But for now, what I see from what the charts are telling me, voters are angry. And we may see a larger-than-expected turnout in the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are voting. They're scared. They're scared for their jobs, and they're scared for the economy.
Phil, I'm sorry, Lawrence, thanks for checking in. Regarding the third-party thing, we mentioned this the other night just in passing, but as I'm sure you know, Geneva, the political system in this country is geared to discourage, if not allow, the emergence of a healthy third or fourth or fifth party. Based on that reality, both the Democrats and Republicans have tried to make sure that no third party would emerge. Based on that reality, though, it's pretty difficult to see any sort of third party. Is it not?
Pretty much. It's pretty well sewn up between the two, but I think that there's probably there's so much alternative media out there that isn't speaking, or the corporations aren't speaking to people who are seeking some kind of an alternative. And there's so many alternative voices out there that there has to be some point that would galvanize all of these lost souls.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the what I think you mentioned a few minutes ago, the decline of Cheney's status? Is it possibly related to his energy policy meetings? Is it related to lawsuits regarding that? Or what do you say?
Actually, I put 80% of it at his health.
Oh, really?
And interesting little dynamic that goes on in the inaugural chart. Some astrologers assert that if the ruler of the 11th house, which is the area that represents the vice president, if that's in a retrograde condition, which means it's kind of in a different status, then it indicates that the vice president will withdraw from the race. And so I can't see that Cheney would do that, being such an egomaniac that he is, and that would be like admitting defeat. But he does show a lot of indications, not only in the inaugural chart, in his chart, and some other progressions in his chart, and as well as other charts that bring this up to date. It does show that he will have a severely weakened health condition. He'll be in a weakened, damaged vitality, and he just simply won't be able to do much campaigning, and it may even get to the point where, realistically speaking, he may have to drop out.
Gosh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I know that breaks your heart.
Yes, it does. Given these figures that the Labor Department released today, 1,000 jobs created in this economy in the month of December, astonishing.
We're on a roll, aren't we?
Yeah, the predictions had been 150,000 jobs. Another aspect of that, the Labor Department released today, they downgraded their previous numbers of job creation in November. They took it down by 50,000. See, nobody pays any attention when the figures are readjusted down 30 or 40 days later. All right, given these realities, what do you see as a reader of charts ahead for the economy and jobs in this country?
Well, you know, once we're past this phony bounce from the jobless recovery, the true loss in terms of the economy will be staggering, because we've got, again, the same aspect mentioned before that seems to operate its dynamic and other effects, Saturn aspecting Jupiter, and that's the ruler of the of a money house. So it shows spending and credit will tighten, and jobs, people are afraid of losing their jobs, and Mercury, the ruler of the second house of finances, shows an anemic economy and lack of continued job growth.
It
doesn't look promising.
Do you think that this economic loss, this job loss, will hurt Bush enough to cost him the election, or do you think it will take other factors to bring this regime down?
I think it's similar to what happened in the election between Dole and Clinton. The general consensus was if the economy is strong, Clinton will stay in office. And conversely, we have the same thing with Bush. If he can't, and he won't, repair the economy, and he won't get people's jobs back, and at this point I don't see that he even knows how, it's the economy, stupid, and that will cost him the election. Plus the fact that he has, at this point, between him and Dean has the edge, and the planets favor him, and it shows an elevation in status for Dean, and Bush has more negative conditions. And remember, he's also in a difficult period now, and I think it'll be more a case of Bush will lose more than Dean will win.
You know, as I listen to you talk, you remind me, and I mentioned this before you came on the air, you remind me of the pundits on television who make the political predictions. You know who they are, the ones on especially on the weekends,
on the
networks.
Morning Gas Bag program.
Right, and I don't know what the hell they base their projections on. At least I know what you base yours on.
Yeah.
And but it's amazing to me that a lot of times, the last time you were on, I hate to tell you this, but I'm sure you've heard it before. I had a few emails from people say, oh, you know, why are you doing astrology? And my answer to that is simply, first of all, astrology is not fortune telling. It has its roots in whatever it has its roots in, and it's including math, including some fun, some ancient tradition,
a cosmic craft.
The basis of astronomy, for heaven's sake. I mean, mm-hmm. let's be real. But what intrigues me is at least you have something that you can lay out and show to people and say, okay, this is why I'm saying this. I have yet to hear David Broder or Tim Russert or any of these other people say, well, this is what I have and lay it out. And so your predictions, or not predictions necessarily, but your readings, your foresight or insight or whatever you want to call it, to me, sounds no different in substance, maybe in specific point, but in substance from these political pundits. So I have no problem having somebody who is an astrologer or give an opinion on this kind of stuff, because you folks have as much information, probably more, than a Tim Russert.
Cool.
All right. So you foresee a loss for Bush if Dean gets the nomination?
Right.
Is that? I mean, you're stating that categorically.
Yeah. But it's probably going to be another close election. And
what about the stealing factor, the theft factor, like we had last time?
You know, I don't see that, but I do see that if the election is close, there's a kind of a nasty aspect between Mars and Saturn. Mars is, of course, war, combative,
mm-hmm.
You know, taking a kind of a combative stance. If the election is close and Bush challenges the returns, then we probably won't actually know. The election is the 2nd,
mm-hmm.
and we probably won't actually know until around the 6th when this mm-hmm. square aspect becomes exact. That's a possibility. It's not set in stone. But what stumps me is I don't understand why the election would be close, other than a handful of very select people who've made out like bandits. I think the rest of us should
mm-hmm.
you know, be pulling the – well, they don't pull levers anymore, do they?
No,
We should be touching the magic screen under the – whoever the Democratic candidate's name is.
Well, I don't understand why George W. Bush has 57, 58, 59% approval rating either. You know, I've said on this program 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000,000 times, can anybody provide one positive thing that this pretender has done? And but that goes to the collective opinion of the American public. And
well, he's got the cooperation of a pandering press that helped him create that illusion.
Oh boy, does that All right, a couple of minutes left here, Geneva. Finally, anything else that we haven't covered that you feel is important to share with this audience?
Well, if you want to move out of politics. And, I think we need to discuss the continued good health of our great godfather of conservatism, Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And Reagan, if he dies this year, it would likely be in February or late August, but I don't think he will.
February, which is next month, or August?
Late August,
and
probably.
But you don't think he's going to pass away this year?
I think he'll probably hang on for the rest of the year, and then he may not be in a... if this is the right term, a good cycle mm-hmm. for his death for another 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So we've already established he's going to live a long life, so mm-hmm. we don't need to determine.
Well, he already has, hasn't
right.
he? I mean, what's a
too
long,
long
life? What is a long? How old is the man? He's approaching 90, isn't he?
158, I think, isn't it?
Well, Kathy is saying in my headphones he's at least 96. I don't think so. I think he's in his he's either he just had a 90th birthday.
Well, he was born in in 1911.
Okay, so that means he's...
my math is terrible.
89 years, 89, 90, 91, about 92 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, last question very quick. Well, no, we're flat out of time here, Geneva. Listen, thanks a lot. I like having you on, and you make more sense to me than Tim Russert ever would.
I'm probably better looking, too.
I'll bet you are. We would invite folks who are listening to go to higherlevelastrology.com. That is Geneva's website. How often do you have your predictions on Bart Kopp's site?
Actually, I put my monthly horoscopes up on my site, and he links to that.
Oh, great. Okay.
Contact that either way. And I haven't done an opinion page since October, although I do have information on our lovely governor. And so I'll probably be getting a change up there.
That'll be fun. I'd like to see what you would write about Schwarzenegger. Geneva, thanks a lot for sitting in with us tonight. Take care.
Do it again.
We'll talk to you again.
Okay, bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Geneva, the astrologer, she joined us from Landers, California.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at IEAmericaRadio.com. Let's save our country, one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Tom Hartman Show.
JR in Victorville, California is on the line.
In California, there's a group called California Budget Project. They did a survey on the hourly wages for all groups, public and private. The highest paid group in California on an hourly wage base is government employees. They average $20 an hour. Well, in all industries, it's $15.38, so they're $5 an hour over the average worker in California. But the thing that doesn't make sense to me is if we're in control of the government, they not only get to tell them what to do, they make more money than he does. It doesn't sound like we're in control at all, does it?
What this has demonstrated is the benefit of unionization for government employees. And you and I together, JR, we should be working to provide those kinds of unionized benefits to all people in all industries in America so that everybody can make as much as the people in that fully unionized industry of California government employees makes.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming
Don't
up next...
be left out.
Shut up, Robin.
Coming up next hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about the conversation we had last night about Howard Dean. Man, it seems like the... It doesn't seem like it. It is true, is it not, that media in this country is just determined to try to bring Howard Dean down? This cheesy-ass little tape that they've been playing where Howard Dean 4 years ago on some obscure interview program on Canadian television, and he made a comment about the Iowa caucuses brought out the extreme voters, which is true. Which is true, and he wasn't even talking about the Iowa caucus. He's talking about all caucuses, the whole idea of caucuses. So NBC gets a hold of this tape, and then this weasel, this woman at CNN that I just loathe. When I work there, if I saw her coming down the hall, I'd move out of the way. I'd duck in the bathroom. I just don't like her, and that's Candy Crowley. Oh my God. So she gets on television, was it tonight, sneering and making these little crappy... This is a woman who would love to do for George what Monica did for Bill. But, of course, George won't have any of it. So anything to destroy Dean. I can't believe when the tape was played all over media like it was today, it was like the Check Saddam for Bugs tape. There's Gephardt. There's Lieberman. Who else said something nasty and hateful about what Howard Dean said? In all honesty, 4 years ago. I mean, there they were. I wonder if Lieberman, to hell with Lieberman. But I wonder if Gephardt and Edwards and the rest of these people understand what they're doing. When they attack Dean rather than just state their own case, they are providing all the ammunition that the Bush crime family could ever need once Howard Dean, if he does, secure the nomination for the Democratic Party. I, by the way, still back Dennis Kucinich. I want to make that clear. But these attacks on Howard Dean... None of them on substance. None of them about anything other than this cheesy little rat bastard stuff. Oh, well. Anyway, I've got some emails from folks I want to share with you. Just a couple about Dean. Left over from last night. We'll talk about it when we come back. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Shouting, let me out. What we got, we never.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Connecticut Governor John Rawlins' status in a federal corruption probe has changed from witness to subject, sources with knowledge of the investigation told the Associated Press. A source who spoke on condition of anonymity said Thursday the change to a subject means a person's actions are within the scope of the federal investigation. A federal grand jury has been investigating alleged bribery and bid rigging within the Republican administration. The three-term Republican admitted last month that he lied when he initially denied that some of the work was paid for by politically appointed state employees, friends, and a state contractor. American employers hardly took on any new workers in December, a disappointing government report on Friday said, indicating the economic recovery has yet to translate into sustained jobs growth. The unemployment rate fell to 5.7%, the lowest in over a year, and down from 5.9% in November. But this was mainly because 309,000 people dropped out of the workforce. The poor report is a headache for George W. Bush as he seeks re-election in November, with the economy, specifically job creation, expected to be a key issue in the campaign. Since Bush took office, more than 2.3 million non-farm jobs have been lost. A bicycle bomb killed 6 people as they ended Friday prayers at a crowded Shiite mosque in central Iraq Friday, underscoring the threat of religious conflict in a country already racked by anti-American insurgency. A gas cylinder packed with explosives strapped to a bicycle went off close to people praying on the pavement due to lack of space inside the small Shiite mosque. Chanting anti-American slogans, angry Sunni Muslim worshippers on Friday protested a U.S. raid on their mosque last week, beating a news photographer, and accusing other journalists of being spies. The protest at the mosque underscored the depth of hostility among some Sunni Muslims towards the U.S.-led occupation. Many Sunnis feel alienated, believing the Americans favor their Shiite Muslim rivals. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A consumer electronics chain's idea of starting a sale at midnight went badly wrong in Poland after looters went on a rampage, police said. Several individuals were very violent and were probably under the influence of alcohol, police spokesman Mirosław Mikor said. About 150 police used their batons to restore order. Some 3,000 people piled into the Lodz branch of Media Market as it opened its doors on Friday. Some smashed windows, wrecked cash registers, and helped themselves to sale goods. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Okay, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Here's an inspiring story of renewal and human gumption to cheer you. It comes from Detroit, the hard-hit, gritty city that has lost thousands of its jobs and suffered a massive outflow of population over the last few decades, leaving hundreds of abandoned buildings and vacant lots. Indeed, a third of the property within the city limits is nothing but boarded-up buildings and trash-littered lots. But today, something new is growing in Detroit, literally. Coming off of dozens of those vacant lots are tons of hay, honey, chickens, goat's milk, tomatoes, herbs, beans, and even beef. This urban agricultural abundance is being produced by a hardy group of Detroiters who are turning Motor City into Garden City. More than 40 community gardens and microfarms, working with churches, schools, food banks, homeless groups, community organizations, and activists, not only grow a cornucopia of food in this city, but also process it and distribute it, offering a terrific example of truly grassroots economic development. One of these urban farmers is Paul Wiertz, a science teacher who a decade ago wanted to connect his inner-city students to nature and food. He and about 100 student volunteers have converted 7 abandoned lots into 10 acres of fertile farmland. Now there are even rabbits and pheasants that have been drawn to this revitalized acreage in one of America's biggest cities, a phenomena he calls a totally surreal experience. But it's real, beautiful, and both economically and spiritually uplifting. Detroit City farmers are also converting an old auto shop into a community center with a greenhouse, cannery, and cafe. This farm-based revival draws other small businesses to the neighborhood. Growing vegetables is just a vehicle for other kinds of change, says one farmer. This is Jim Hightower saying, these Detroiters are showing us that true grassroots growth comes not from corporate trickle-down, but from ourselves. To learn more, go to the Detroit Planning Group's website, adamha.org.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The attack on Howard Dean is I don't know. I want to say astonishing, and then I have to realize where I live and what year it is, and who controls media, who controls the flow of non-information in this country. Then it becomes not so astonishing after all. CNN.com, as a matter of fact, for example, they have a headline, Dean on the defensive about Iowa comments. Comments that he made 4 years ago, it's just unbelievable. Dean has spent 2 years in Iowa. He's campaigned, according to his website, in all 99 counties. So these rat bastards find something from 4 years ago. Where he was, what does it say here? He was on a program called The Editors, which was taped in Montreal. It was a some sort of cable program, and they dragged this thing out. You know, you have to wonder, right? Who dragged this out? NBC News said it went through 90 of Dean's appearances on various programs since 1996, looking for stuff to cut this man's legs out from under him. I don't know. Again, where do we live? What year is it? All right, a couple of emails from last night. Reverend Debu said, hi, Mike, I support both Dean and Kucinich. I will vote for Kucinich as long as I can, until he's no longer an option. Then I will vote for Dean if and when he becomes a chosen candidate of the party. Yes, I think Dean supporters, including myself, are in a bit of denial about Dean's conservative streak and his commitment to keeping us in Iraq. But if we're going to point out that Dean supporters are in denial about his conservatism, then it would be totally dishonest if we don't also point out that Kucinich supporters are in denial about the reality that Kucinich ain't going to win. That's not a defeatist attitude, Reverend Debu writes. I will support Kucinich right up until the party selects a single candidate. It's not defeatist, it's a realist attitude. People who say Dean is a liberal are lying to themselves, plain and simple. And people who say Kucinich can win are lying to themselves, plain and simple. When the rubber hits the road next November, we have to take the best that we can realistically have. If we don't, then we'll wind up with the worst. Four more years of Bush. Drew in Houston emailed in last night, Mike, I think in listening to Dean, he would like a gradual reduction in our troops with the UN taking over. This was regarding the issue of Dean saying he would maintain troops in Iraq. Drew says it would be a gradual reduction of our troops with the UN taking over. If you take any other approach, you're leaving yourselves open to Republican lies and attacks. Bottom line, Dennis can be as much of a problem on one side as Lieberman can from the other side. We have to win this time or the country's done. Stephen in Boulder emailed in, Mike, avid listener, I think the anti-Dean caller last night left out some of Dean's position on Iraq. Dean wants to transfer the responsibility of Iraq to the United Nations. He believes that if the U.S. leaves suddenly, it could result in a massive civil war. Look what happened to Angola when the Portuguese suddenly pulled out. While I personally don't agree with that, there is an argument for his position. I think Dean wants us out of Iraq, but he feels that to leave suddenly would be disastrous. The whole idea was a mess before, and we made it worse by invading. A no-win situation for everybody, thanks to George. By the way, Kucinich is my choice. I'm voting for him until such time that I can't anymore. All right, from Dean's website, he has a, what is it, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 point, very quick, 7 points to get us out of Iraq. He says, our goal should be what the administration has promised, an Iraq that is stable, self-sufficient, whole, and free. Our strategy to achieve that goal should be based on a partnership with three sides, U.S., international, and Iraqi, in a program that begins with seven basic points. First, a NATO-led coalition should maintain order and guarantee disarmament. Second, civilian authority in Iraq should be transferred to an international body approved by the U.N. Security Council. Third, the U.N.'s oil for food program should be transformed into an oil for recovery program to pay part of the cost of reconstruction and transition. Next, the U.S. should convene an international donors conference to help finance the financial burden of paying for Iraq's recovery. Next, women should participate in every aspect of the decision-making process. Next, a means should be established to prosecute crimes committed against the Iraqi people by individuals associated with Saddam Hussein's regime. And last, a democratic transition will take between 18 to 24 months, although troops should expect to be in Iraq for a longer period. I disagree with four or five of those points. Fundamentally disagree. But again, like I say, I'm a Kucinich supporter until such time as, if it comes to pass, Dean is given the gets the nomination of the Democratic Party, and then that's where I go. But as far as the 7-point plan to get us out of Iraq, I don't disagree with the idea that, as a couple of our emailers have said, that an immediate withdrawal by U.S. forces would leave the country in chaos. I understand that. I understand that. So perhaps it should be a very quick patching together of U.N. forces, although U.N. forces historically have never been able to do a damn thing. The blue helmets mean nothing. I'm sorry. They just don't. So I don't know what to do. George W. Bush and these thugs, these bastards, in conjunction with this murderous Saddam Hussein, have created a situation that is really an Uncle Remus-style tar baby, and we are attached to it. How to get disconnected from it, I have no idea. Robert is calling from New Orleans, our bureau chief down there. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I hate these people.
I do, too.
And you know, the minute you talked about, you know, this anti-Dean thing in the media, it is exactly my thoughts, because the thing is that, as I'm like you, I'm a Kucinich guy, but I like Dean. He's all right, and if he's our guy at the end of the convention and everything else, I'm going to go with him. I'm going to back him. Mm-hmm. But and because of that, I absolutely hate this anti-Dean thing that you've been hearing in the media going back. I don't know how long now, but it seems like forever. You know, Dean's the next McGovern, and then and now this week, Time and Newsweek both had negative articles about Dean on their front page.
Right.
On the cover story, and yeah, you hit this thing 4 years ago. He's given his view of the Iowa. Oh my God! And look and see how much he hates Iowa now. I mean, what what is this? I mean, it's kind of like Al Gore and Earth Tone clothes, and he invented the internet. It's a bunch of bull
stuff.
I don't guess I can say the next word.
No, I don't think. And I'm just hoping that no, that's the wrong term. I understand fully grassroots network that Dean has established, that through the internet, through the meetups, and I have to admire, with no qualifications, I admire what Dean and his supporters have done. They have stuck a finger in the eye of mainstream media. They have given the finger to corporate America.
Absolutely.
That's why
they hate him.
Yeah, they've said
they hate him because he has gone around them,
right,
and he has gone directly to the people.
Right.
And in this corporate run fascistic state that George Bush and the right wing bastards that run this country, that is a mortal sin. You're not allowed to go directly to the people. And that's why they hate him, and that's why they want to crush him, and they're doing the same thing to Kucinich by just ignoring him, acting like he doesn't even exist. And I tell you what, I'm dropping out. I am dropping out of the corporate media. I'm not going to allow myself to be informed by them anymore. I have recently started up a subscription to the Christian Science Monitor. I figure any news that is worth hearing, it can come from them, and I don't have to worry about it being corporate filtered. I got my subscription to The Nation, to The Washington Monthly, and I can learn about what's going on in the world. That way I can go onto the internet and screw the corporate media, because I'm sick and tired of them, Mike. And it was like I was talking earlier this week, the manipulation that these people have. They don't need jackbooted thugs busting in your door and shutting down your radio station and getting you for free speech, because there is no free speech, because they control 95% of everything that's out there, and if they don't like it, it doesn't get on there.
You know, if I were in New Orleans right now, Robert, I'd take you out for a drink. You need to chill just a tad.
I tell you what, I can't chill because I listen to you, and you strike a chord with me, Mike. You strike a chord. You are what I feel and think, and that's why I love you, and I love your show, and my sister's now in love with your show. She's listening. I recruited her for you. Denise is out there. I'd want to say hi to her. But and she's a Dean supporter.
Uh-huh.
She's a Dean supporter. She likes Dean, and I tell her, look, it's okay if you like Dean and I, Kucinich. This is what primaries are about.
That's right.
In-house fighting.
That's right.
That's what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
But in the end, they're part of our family. Dean's part of our family. It's like it's like your family, and I might joke with my sister and say something to her, but nobody's allowed to say anything to her. Nobody's allowed to do the dirty stuff they've done.
That's right.
Howard Dean, without me getting irate.
I hear you.
And that's what this is, and I'm so sick of it. I'm not going to allow myself. The only thing I even watch CNN now for is to watch Paul Begala and James Carville beat the hell out of Tucker Carlson every night. After that, I don't even look at CNN anymore. I can get my information elsewhere. Thank you very much. And I think that every progressive who hates this media should tune them out. They're not speaking to us anyway.
I hear you.
And every liberal and every progressive, or whatever you call yourself, tune it out.
There you go.
There are other media sources out there. They're non-corporate. And you can pander to them, you know?
Yeah.
And buy their stuff and ignore these people.
All right, now, deep breath. All right. Robert, thanks for checking.
All right, Mike, thanks.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. The passion The passion. Now, how does media spin that? Media says, media say, since media is plural, I know, I hate that, but media say, oh, there's so much anger out there. Oh, it's so divided. We've never seen the American electorate divided. So, well, thank God for that. Thank God that there are still people, and there are millions of us, who are just furious, just absolutely infuriated, and who have decided not to take it anymore. Hmm? Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Past the hour. From Dr. Scott. Hi, Mike. Also a Kucinich supporter here. Dean, like Clinton, will make a great and acceptable Republican president. It seems like Gephardt, Lieberman, and so forth are now against the will of the constituents of their own party and entirely self-serving, putting them more in line with contemporary Republicans. Reminds me of a Saturday Night Live skit where the Lieberman character said something to the effect of, "No one's more supporting the Republicans than the Democrats." Yes, indeed. All right, we're talking about the anti-Dean thing that is way out of control, but that's to be expected. This is America in the age of Bush. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Listen, you know, this whole anti-Dean thing, this is just obscene.
It is.
You know, first of all, let's just put the cards on the table. We've got a president who was selected, who did cocaine, who didn't serve his country when he was supposed to. He disappeared for God knows how long. We've got all these real issues that he's gotten us into, such as the war we can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
We've had hundreds of Americans die. We've got possibly tens of thousands of injured or dead Iraqis. We've got literally hundreds of billions of dollars in additional debt that we didn't have just this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got unemployment that is staggers the mind. How in the world can only 1,000 jobs be created in a month, and the idiot comes on and says, you know, I feel optimistic.
I know.
How, you know, and I'm just sitting here, all this stuff, and what are they focused on? Well, Dean said 4 years ago in a Canadian show, you know, that he thought that the people in the Iowa caucuses were just a little bit obsessive. Gee.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I'm just amazed. But it gets better. Mm. But it gets better. I saw online, I was over at DU, right?
.com,
Democratic Underground.
Sure.
And there was somebody posted over there an article yesterday about Dean saying that, you know, that he thought Bush was, you know, a middle of the road kind of guy.
Yeah, that was several years ago.
The date on that was like 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It was like December of 2000.
Right.
There's not a single person, I don't believe, none of us, even those of us who can't stand Bush today, I know for my own self, when I looked at that and I thought of Bush back in 2000, I thought to myself, well, there's a chance he's not going to be as bad as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
Because I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. There's a chance. We're stuck with this guy for 4 years. Let's see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 3 years in, it's an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
But there's no way we could have known that. There's no way anybody could have really known what we were in for. And still, we are Dean is being vivisectioned daily by people who are afraid of his message. They're afraid of that silent majority who are starting to wake up. They're afraid of all these people who they can't influence with their, you know, with their Scott Peterson cases and Michael Jackson sex things, and they're afraid of us. I'm convinced of it.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that, Tony. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, you take care. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Sure seen better days. Though I spent most of the 80s in a drunken coca phase. But I bought my way through Harvard and I bought my way to Yale. And Papa's name and money kept my drunk ass out of jail. Oh, I'm George W. Don't you cry for me. Now I've made it to the White House. That's in Washington, D.C. That's Stacy, dummy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some chemicals widely used as flame retardants might be harming lives as much as saving them. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several kinds of chemicals known as PBDEs are used to keep a wide variety of consumer products from burning easily. The list includes furniture, textiles, and electronic equipment. Scientists believe that PBDEs slowly escape from those products and get into the environment. Evidence is mounting that exposure to these compounds might be particularly harmful to the fetuses of animals and people. Linda Birnbaum directs the Experimental Toxicology Division of the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Birnbaum says use of PBDEs in the United States has been increasing rapidly for more than a decade.
The PBDEs were really first introduced into commerce during the early 70s, but their use has increased dramatically over the past 10 to 15 years. And the concern with the PBDEs really started in the very late 1990s when they were first detected in not only wildlife, but in human blood and milk samples.
Birnbaum says evidence of the danger of PBDEs is preliminary, but it needs to be taken seriously.
These chemicals have such long lifetimes in the environment and in our bodies that the longer we continue to use them, the longer it'll take to get rid of them if we find out we have a problem.
Birnbaum says many European industries have voluntarily stopped using several forms of PBDEs. As a result, people in Europe have blood levels of the chemical that are just 1/10 to 1/20 of the levels in Americans. She says one U.S. company has voluntarily agreed to halt production by the end of 2004, and other companies are looking for safe alternatives. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't think of better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. David emailed in, why aren't the Democratic candidates picking Bush apart for all of his lies? I guess this is in reference to how some of these half-baked Democrats are going after Dean. David writes, don't you see why most people don't even bother to vote? I see it clearly. I don't see any marches on Washington. We've been divided and conquered by the fascists. They use fear and scapegoating to pit us against each other. Straight against gay, white against black, Christians against every other mythical belief system. Most of the progressive leaders were murdered. Whatever happened to the Iran-Contra investigation? David asks. How about all the murders we've sponsored around the world? The not-so-subtle message is that if you want progressive change, you will end up with a bullet in your head. Can't they find one clip of Bush telling a lie? How about Powell's lies exposed this week? My six-year-old daughter loves Dennis Kucinich after she watched his videos and I read her some of his biography. She can't understand why he's not, quote, electable. I started explaining what the reporter meant by this when I find myself saying that they mean that he's a good, decent, honest man who wants to make a positive contribution to the world. My daughter asked me what was wrong with being honest. I'm almost speechless. I already had to explain why the Supreme Court can't be respected. Now I have to explain this. Oh, well, I can't say that, David. Blank the media. The report about the lies about Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction just came out and it's already been driven from the news by the stuff about Dean. We need a revolution. Yeah, well, probably do. Tracy is calling from Silver Springs, Maryland. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, how are you, Mr. Mike?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. You know, on the Dean situation, it is interesting because living in the Washington, D.C. area, I think that the Washington Post editorial page is going to have a heart attack if Dean is the Democratic nominee.
And
that's supposed to be a liberal, you know, paper.
Yeah, I think a lot of so-called liberal papers are going to have their heart attack if Dean gets the nomination. Yeah,
absolutely. It's hilarious. So, in that respect, you know, more power to him, just regardless of who we all, you know, support.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to call and make fun of this proposal that our fearless leader is putting out regarding putting a manned settlements on the moon and on Mars.
Oh, you know, I actually heard a couple of reporters tonight or this afternoon refer to that as George W. Bush's John Kennedy moment. I could have slapped somebody into the street, kicked their ass all the way around the block, and run them out of town for making a statement like that. George W. Bush is about as keyed into or as interested in space exploration as I am in getting a bad case of herpes. I'll tell you what they are talking about. This is Bush acting like he is interested in space exploration.
Exactly.
What it is turning the moon into a military base.
Right.
What it is spending trillions of dollars circling the Earth with some sort of weaponry that can be mm-hmm. beamed back against mm-hmm. anybody that would rise up against the Bush crime mm-hmm. family. That's mm-hmm. what this is about.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is to compare it to Jack Kennedy is to ignore the differing circumstances of the times. I mean, Jack Kennedy was he was speaking in terms of the Cold War. You know, it was the big bad Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And the country was in a different place, and we've got soldiers being shot in Iraq. We can't really afford to, you know, put all this. So, this is also a Karl Rove election ploy.
Sure it is.
You know.
That's all it is. And remember, from Kennedy's speech until the time we actually had a man walking on the moon, it was, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And God only knows what the expenditures were, how much it cost. The Bush crime family has so bankrupted this country, has so driven us into debt. And not only that, you're looking at a 10, 20, 30-year project. These people can't think ahead 30 days, much less 30 years.
Exactly. And I personally am not opposed to space exploration per se, but if anyone can't see this for what it is, it's just a craven election year proposal to make the dim song look like he's looking ahead.
Like he has some substance.
Exactly.
And he doesn't. Tracy, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, I appreciate your call. Tracy's absolutely right. You know, when I heard that the other day, like, George Bush talking about establishing a moon base. Oh, give me a break. This moron, this jackass. If there's any substance to what he's saying at all, it's strictly in the sense of a military base. It's strictly in the sense of what? Who's going to do it? Halliburton? Who's going to go up there? Bechtel? The Kellogg Brown and Root? Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh. Roger's calling from Minneapolis. Hey, Roger.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Roger. How are you?
Well, I'm concerned.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You may remember I mentioned I'm from the suburbs of the western Twin Cities, Minneapolis,
yes.
St. Paul.
Yes, indeed. That's
the first time I called. And by God, I was in the shopping places a little bit around Christmas, and I've been keeping an eye out on things, and it seems that people think that it's okay to pursue business as usual.
Yeah.
And this worries me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think that it should be business as usual, and I'm wondering why people think it is.
Well, I guess there are as many answers to that as there are ways to frame the question. A lot of folks have offered suggestions on this program about the very issue. Denial is the first one. Fatigue is another one. Disinterest is another one. Angst is another one. Just wishing all this crap would go away is another one. So, you know, it's a coping mechanism. If you take a good solid look at what's going on in this country, and if you have intelligence above room temperature, and you look at what's going on, and you look at the Bush crime family, you look at what's going on in this country, what's going on this planet as a result of George Bush, if you're not able to practice denial, you are going to either kill yourself or go insane. So denial is, you know, this. The Bush administration has given denial a good reputation. That's where so many of us are sitting, in denial. No, this can't be going on. Now, for those of us like you and me and most of the people listening to this program who are not in denial, it's very painful and it's an outrage. But I think a lot of Americans just go into denial. Oh, I can't handle this. I think he's a great president. I can't handle this. That's the best I can come up with, Roger.
Well, it seems to me that the process of becoming inured to crisis is part of the plan that the incipient, if not overt, fascists in this country are up to.
Keep hammering people, keep driving home fear, keep driving home doubt about who we are, keep tightening the screw on so-called security. Do you realize where we are as compared to where we were, say, 10 years ago or 10 months ago, either one, regarding privacy, regarding the Bill of Rights, regarding freedom or liberty in this country? We're getting closer and closer, and this is not an exaggeration, closer and closer to the tactics imposed by the Soviet Union.
Well, with the technology that's evolving currently, especially RFID tags, which will allow a lot of things, if you're not familiar with that, you should become. The tracking possibilities for a highly technologized society are going to get to the point where if we have an opinion,
mm-hmm.
We'd better make sure it's not associated with our name, or we will find ourselves unable to get
right.
work.
You go into a database. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's awful. Roger, let me move on. We're running out of time. I have a couple other people want to get something said tonight, okay?
Mike, you get yourself a new job when you finish this one, okay?
Don't worry. Will do, Roger.
Good.
All right, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. I promise. Wayne is calling from Seattle. Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
You got it wrong. I think George Bush wants to bring democracy to Mars, and he knows that once we make Mars a democratic planet, that the rest of the solar system will sort of follow suit.
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't think we should delude ourselves that these attacks on Dean are coming strictly from the Republicans or the so-called mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party, DLC, insider crowd is perfectly capable of engineering, these types of things for somebody that they don't necessarily approve of.
Absolutely.
I mean, how many people know that Lyndon LaRouche is a Democratic candidate? Now, he could be loonier than, than all get out, but, it just demonstrates that if they want to exclude somebody from debates or media attention or even being recognized as a candidate, they are totally capable of doing that within the party.
Well, look at the job they have done on Dennis Kucinich. Look at the job they've done on Carol Moseley Braun.
Yeah, I mean...
It's very easy to do.
If we go back to 68, all the hippies who were tuning in, turning on, and dropping out cleaned up, got clean for Gene, and then later on Robert Kennedy. But after Kennedy was assassinated, they all went to Chicago. They were all out there in the streets getting their head beat in, while Humphrey was up there in the hotel in the convention center chumming it up with Daley. So this could very easily repeat itself, and with all the idealistic Dean crowd, we might see, the same type of thing.
I hear that loud and clear. I don't know how the Dean campaign is going to brace itself against this sort of thing. I think they understand that the DLC is out to get him, that corporate America is out to get him, that the Republicans are out to get him, and the DLC candidates are out to get him. So I hope that Dean has a strong suit of armor. Wayne, thanks for checking in.
All right, later.
All right, appreciate you calling. Sorry to rush you these calls, but a lot of folks are holding on, and I just want to get you all before we run out of time tonight. Ray is calling from Concrete, Washington. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Okay. This thing with Dean. I'm a member of DU, and I read all the posts, and I say what I can on there, and just. I see so many people, even on DU, they just attack each other's candidates and stuff. And I'm a Dennis Kucinich supporter, but I don't attack anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I went to, when he came up here to Bellingham, Washington, and to the college, and there, after his speech, there were people crying with hope and people crying out of despair. Because they didn't think he could win, and I shook his hand, and then everybody was just elated. The place was packed. Dennis just does that. From what I've seen, and I've done some what I can to further his campaign, but just the candidates beating each other up is just, I just can't stand it. It's just terrible.
I know.
I mean, there's plenty. I mean. If they want to beat somebody up, beat Bush up.
Yeah, you'd think.
Beat Bush up. I mean, there's so much more stuff that just makes everybody look, all the Democrats look like they're all fighting amongst themselves, which apparently they are. And it's, God, if Dean wins, God help him. Let's all get behind him,
Absolutely.
And this crap about dragging stuff up. I went into the grocery store tonight, and I see Newsweek and Time with his face on both covers, And then I hear tonight on your show that it's both negative stuff. So I don't know if the Republicans are afraid of him and they're trying to bring him down, or who they're afraid of, or what. But if I was a Republican and I heard this going to the moon and going to the Mars stuff that Bush is putting out now, I think I'd have to say to myself, what in the hell is in his head?
Right.
What is this about? Trillions of dollars in debt,
yeah.
Millions of people out of work, and we're going to reinstate the space program?
It's a joke. This is a Karl Rove ploy. It's nonsense. It's going to have its 24-48-hour news cycle. It's going to divert attention from the horror that this bastard has brought on this country and the planet, and it will fade. Trust me. There's no there. Ray, let me move on. I appreciate
your
call.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks for checking in. God. I hate him. Andy is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Andy.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. I have trouble on Friday night because I want to listen to your 8 o'clock hour, but John McLaughlin is on PBS here. And
that's okay. You have a permission slip.
I like listening to that, too. So
right.
I try to go. Anyway, you know, that's a good show on TV, and it really is. And check out this little statistic. 11,430 medical evacuees from Iraq.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Yeah, where do you suppose they're all hiding?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that there's that. And then he hits on some good things.
Hey, let me put you on hold a second. We got to take a break here. We'll come back right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
By the flag was the question unasked. Won't you join in and fight with the Allies? What could we say? We're only 25 years old. With 25 sweet summers and hot fires in the cold. This kind of life makes that violence unthinkable. We'd like to play hockey, have kids and grow old. Fighters for Texaco.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Hey, Andy, didn't mean to hang up on you there. I'm glad you called back. It is almost closing time, and I'm just... losing it. I'm glad you called back. Where are you? Well, where's Andy?
He's there.
Hello, Andy? What am I talking to myself? All right. Well, I guess I am. oh, my God. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. It couldn't be the phones, could it? No, absolutely not. Couldn't be the phones. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let me do this because we are running out of time rapidly. The program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The program engineered in Detroit by John Lucas. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. What is that? What? What? All right. The gremlins are moving in, right? Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. And now, see, everybody, because we've had a couple little glitches here right at the end, people are I know the crowd out there, the usual gang, is sitting back, oh, good, maybe he'll go berserk and leave his mic open and start cussing and like he does, and we love that part. Is that our caller? Okay, well, let's try it one more time. Now, this is Andy. Andy, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hey, yippee.
All right, you got 30 seconds, pal.
Hey, man. You were talking about Pat Buchanan last night.
Yeah.
That was fun.
You know,
he had a fun thing to say tonight on the McLaughlin group.
What did he say?
As far as the space thing goes, compared to JFK, man, you can't make a souffle rise twice.
I like it. Thanks, Andy. We're out of time.
Good night, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. What was that applause stuff that we had on the line? Where did that come from? This program doesn't get applause. It comes from Ashcroft? Yeah, I think it does. Hey, y'all have a great weekend. We will see you Monday. I hope. You never know, do you? I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow